It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Mark Isley. He's the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and a producer from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Mark, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here today.
Now, let me also throw in the fact that you have a tie to the historic King Ranch, but when we're talking King Ranch, not the Texas King Ranch, right?
No, it's the Wyoming King Ranch, originally started by three brothers that immigrated to America and started in the sheep business, and kind of a success story in itself, but great place, had the first flock of Corriedale sheep in the United States, and it's been a cattle ranch since 68.
Well, and also an award-winning ranch, Leopold Conservation Award. What's that mean?
Well, that fortunately happened under my watch with lots of contributions from friends and neighbors and family, but we were acknowledged for our management and resource practices, our sustainability, our interaction with agencies, and a whole multitude of good things. And to be even nominated for that is an honor to have won our state one, a big deal. So we were very proud of that.
Well, let's also kind of set the stage for those who aren't familiar with the Cattlemen's Association there in Wyoming. I think it's easy to look at maybe movies or TV series and get an idea of what it might be like. But how would you describe raising cattle in Wyoming?
Well, it's a labor of love. I love what I do, and I love my colleagues in the business and the industry. But a lot of shows on TV and in the movies have glamorized some of the things that aren't really that important, the drama and some of the personal interactions. But the issues that sometimes they breach, the conflicts with developers, money, land grabbers, those kind of things, agencies, those are all real, very, very much so. And that's the kind of thing, and I'm both a public lands and a private lands rancher, so I experienced some of that up close and personal. In fact, I had bought into the ranch and took over the grazing permit when Cattle Free by 1993 was the lay of the land or the motto for the activists at that time. So it was quite a steep learning curve.
Well, I'm glad you brought in the activist side there, because we've seen a buy-in, if you will, into some what appears to be farm groups that seem to be lobbying against the cattle industry. Has that been a concern over time?
It's a tremendous concern, and we're watching the activists use lots of different pages out of their playbook. They are they're pretending to be farmers, friends of farmers and ranchers, but they have their own agenda, and a lot of that agenda is to drive people off their properties, eliminate animal agriculture, and restrict their private property rights. And they're taking money from organizations that is their number one goal. So to see that weaponized against us is of great concern.
Well, is that does that give, I guess, some weight, if you will, to the Wyoming stock growers? And does it give some weight behind NCBA, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, as you work to not just tell the story, but to dispute maybe some myths that are out there?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm fortunate enough from a state where our state association is strong and unified in that message, and I'm thrilled to be associated with NCBA, because for the same reason, we're unified in our message. We disseminate real knowledge and real truth, and we dispel myths and eliminate those kind of threats, or at least reduce those threats to our producers so they can be productive. You know, agriculture is interesting because it's so sustainable if it's done properly. And if you look at operations that are multi-generational, you don't do that by abusing the resource. We love clean air, clean water, all those things that the public loves too. But we're the front line on that. And so these associations, they're the front line to help us survive that sort of thing and do better in our everyday job.
Now I want to kind of bring your involvement into NCBA up here. When we talk about myths, whether they're myths, I don't know, but there are those within the industry who may not see NCBA the same way you do. How would you describe NCBA to a group of producers who might not be supportive at this point? And what do you tell those producers that NCBA is doing for them?
They need to look at their other organizations and then look really closely at what NCBA does. We're the front lines, defenders, and interactors of policy within Washington, also in our state houses, where we're the ones that are protecting property rights, water rights, trade, transportation, endangered species. We're the ones that are actually doing the job, and we have people dedicated to produce those results to inform the decision makers and make sure that policies are good and beneficial for us and not harmful. That's the first measuring stick. And then you also have the ability to look at finances. What are the finances of those other groups that oppose us? What are the finances of the groups that don't like our policies? NCBA is made up by real producers, and we really believe in the future of the industry, and we respect our colleagues and their ability to operate in whatever environment there is and give them the support to do that.
Okay. You mentioned in there legislative, and I think that's a perfect tie-in because right now you have the NCBA Legislative Conference happening in Washington, D.C. How do you describe that?
It's a great event. It's where producers will take time out of their busy schedules and lifestyles to come to D.C., walk the halls, meet their congressional folks, meet their congressional staff, interact with the agencies, and tell real stories that have impact on what the decision makers are doing, good or bad. They'll get a direct, truthful story from us. And we backed it up with science and knowledge. It's a very powerful tool, and it's good. I think the legislators like seeing the hats in the halls and the boots on the ground.
And what are some of the top issues that you're taking to Capitol Hill at this point? And maybe are those the same questions you're getting asked by members of Congress?
Yeah, there's several, but I'll hit on two or three that are top of the list for me. We've got to defend the beef checkoff. That informs our consumers, our producers, dietitians, medical personnel about the virtues and the value of beef. I think the other is the Farm Bill. That's conservation programs, indemnity, price protection, all those things that are multifaceted, working with agencies and making sure we can do our job well. And then I think, and this is of real importance to me, is the tax situation. The tax code, how it's written, and in particular, the estate tax, the death tax. How many times does a family have to pay for a farm or a ranch over and over before it actually ever becomes theirs? That's a huge disincentive for young producers that want to come into the business and would love to take over and operate a family or multi-generational operation.
Mark, you mentioned early on that you have both private land and you also work the public lands as well. For those who aren't around public lands and really don't understand how the public lands work and the importance of grazing and management there, how do you frame that conversation?
That's a great question, and I'll answer it the best I can. The public lands are the first testing ground for activists. They try things to stop us, slow us down, or prevent us from using them, when actually that is the livestock is one of the best management tools. Multi-use are still some of the best management tools for public lands. If they can restrict or reduce our ability to use those, they eliminate our private grounds, which are also wildlife havens, migration corridors, and they're also the first thing that defends the clean water and the clean air through those riparian areas. If we lose that on the public lands ranches, it's just a short step before they're on your back door somewhere else trying to take your private property rights away and control or restrict your ability to use them. So if we fall down and fail, they will be right after the rest of us. And when there's only 1.5 or so percent of us that represent ag in this arena, we've got a big tough road to follow. But with organizations like NCBA and our state associations, in my case, Wyoming Stock Growers, that's a powerful tool.
Mark, it's so good to visit with you. Thank you for spending some time. Good luck on the rest of your time there in D.C., part of the legislative conference.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time you took to ask questions, and hope your viewership, listenership listens and enjoys.
Mark Isley is the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, producer from Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.